welcome back, everybody. It's the Dom and Colin podcast. I am Colin alongside Dom for a special podcast here today. For the first time in, it's got to be years at this point. It's probably getting close to like 5 years since we've really talked much about The Amazing Race. But here we are again. Dom, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I can't actually remember which season it was that we last covered. It's been that long. I know one of the last episodes we did about The Amazing Race was lost in the editing process and was unable to be recovered. So we left that on kind of a bad note, but good to be picking that back up again.
I completely forgot about that. But yeah, it is, figuratively, knock on wood, that it's still the case that we've only lost completely one podcast where the recorder just didn't work and we did the whole thing and found out afterwards, okay, none of that got saved. And it was way back in the day talking about The Amazing Race, and it was Brendan and Rachel's first season, was whatever it was. So I think that was season 20, was however long ago that was in Amazing Race time. I don't know. Do they do two seasons a year of The Amazing Race? Is it the same as Survivor?
I honestly couldn't tell you, but that's the assumption I'm going on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's safe to say, however long it's been, it's certainly been at least a couple of minutes since we've talked about The Amazing Race. But Dom,
it's been at least 1 or 2 hot minutes, I would say.
Right.
I don't know how that scales to Amazing Race time, but I think that's fair.
Yeah. But we are, I guess, kind of taking the bait that CBS has put out there. This upcoming season of The Amazing Race has been reported to be a kind of battle of the franchises, where we have some teams that are Amazing Race veterans and also some teams that are veterans of Survivor and Big Brother that we've podcasted about on those shows before, but we're finally going to see them here on The Amazing Race. So we are going to be here at least in the preseason for that season. And today what we're going to be doing is talking through each of these teams, previewing how we think they're all going to stack up in the form of a draft that we've already done the draft off air, and we'll be going through the results. We found over the years that tends to speed up the process rather than Dom sitting there for like 20 minutes between every single pick trying to figure out all the different timelines of how things could go. We have figured out that
that's Colin Stone hyperbole right there, but it would be harder this time around because there are a solid 3 or 4 teams I just don't recognize at all. So trying to weigh up just how they might do on The Amazing Race from looking at their casting photo, probably not the best use of our time or yours. So
yeah, all right.
We've tried to expedite that a little bit.
Yeah, well, it should be a lot of fun. We have 11 teams to get through, and if you don't want to know about those teams, here is your spoiler alert. Although, I guess, the way that the release schedule for this is going to be a little weird. What we're going to do is put this up right away for the patrons of the Dom and Colin podcast. And if you'd like to become a patron, patreon.com/DomandColin is where you go for that. They're going to get this right away. And then we're also going to eventually release this to the public, but we're going to save that for when it actually becomes relevant to the public and once the cast is actually released publicly for The Amazing Race. So I guess no spoiler alert for the public version of this, but for the patrons, for anyone averse to that kind of thing, now would probably be the time to tune out. Dom, anything else we want to get to before we dive into how this draft ended up going?
Nothing really comes to mind for me. Do we know anything about the twists, or I don't know, with The Amazing Race, did they spoil the route at all, or how does any of that work?
No idea on any of the twists. And also another thing we should probably flag up is if we ever do find ourselves back here podcasting about the season as it played out, which I'm certainly not going to make a firm commitment that we're going to do it every week or anything close to that, but I would certainly be open to the possibility of resuming some Amazing Race coverage after a years-long sabbatical in that department. I'm looking forward to the season for sure, yeah.
We have not been taking this ideological stance against The Amazing Race. It just so happens that we haven't watched it and haven't covered it. I guess it would be hard to watch it. It would be hard to cover it without watching it, but that might be fun to try at some point.
Another thing that I'm just now remembering that we should probably own up to in our first Amazing Race podcast back, at least for me, and I'm hoping, Dom, it's roughly the same for you, because otherwise I'm going to be super embarrassed just all by my lonesome over here. But do you remember the reason that, at least for me, why I stopped watching The Amazing Race? And I think you quit at roughly the same time for roughly the same reason.
Does it involve Natalie Anderson by any chance?
50% of the equation may be Natalie Anderson. Yeah, like I was a semi-regular Amazing Race watcher, and I watched Jeff and Jordan's season when they were on it. Therefore, I think that was like season 16. I missed a couple in there, but I have for sure seen all of the old school seasons of The Amazing Race, if not a couple of times through. And the 20s on whatever season they were on really irritated the hell out of me, to the point that I just no longer thought the show was even worth watching. And it, you know, people who listen to us podcast about Survivor Blood versus Water, particularly like our preseason podcast there, they were very near the bottom of our draft board, if not literally like the bottom two. And obviously these days in the year 2018, both hardcore 20 stands for sure. But it's just so funny to think back now that in whatever year it was, like 2012-ish, that I stopped watching The Amazing Race, that was why. And now, like, years later, I just did Survivor winner rankings, and I had Natalie Anderson, like, in my top 10 of all time. It's crazy.
Yeah, some definite Natalie Standersons up in here.
Oh, strong. That's applause worthy. That's very good.
Thank you. But when they came out for All Stars, that was what really edged me away from the show. And luckily, they were gone first. And I say luckily because now, in retrospect, that seems like a tragedy. And I don't know if they would actually go back to their old selves that I really strongly disliked on The Amazing Race. But it's a sign of the times that here in 2018, I can sit here and say, I am sad that Survivor winner Natalie Anderson has not been invited back to Survivor to try and reclaim her title, or onto The Amazing Race for a third stint there. That is actually a cause for grief for me.
Yeah, that would be a big oversight here for me before we get to the actual teams that are on it. And then, you know, having the 20s back, I would have thought would be like a no-brainer after how things went on Survivor and them becoming, or at least Natalie becoming, probably more specifically, a big draw, I would guess, if she were to go back to The Amazing Race, even bigger than they were their first two times around. The other team that I really would have loved to see here, and maybe this is just complete fan fiction on my part that this would ever have even been remotely possible, but I remember back in 2006, they were talking about, this idea was at least floating around that they'd be both willing to do The Amazing Race. I would love to see Chilltown here on this season, but apparently that was not meant to be.
Yeah, unclear if Will would want to do it, or if Mike Bookie would be allowed to do it. So I don't know if that was seriously in the conversation, but during this initial cast spoiler season, there were a lot of rumors flying around, and we had the inside track on a few of those that we knew to be false, or knew to be at least more up in the air than it was being presented, and none of those names are actually in the equation anymore. So that should tell you how reliable those were. But there was a solid 2 week like anti-sweat where we seriously thought Caleb Reynolds would be the first one to complete the CBS reality trifecta. Luckily, that title is still up for grabs, and I am hoping against hope that it will not be him who eventually claims it.
Yeah, that will be interesting, and I'm guessing someone will soon, right? Like, they'll put Rachel Riley on Survivor, or one of the 20s in the Big Brother house, or Caleb on The Amazing Race. Like, someone's going to eventually do that, right? We should get an official, we should set the line on when that happens. Like, would you say, I'll set the line at before or after 2020?
I'm going to say before, but I have a question for the umpire here. If Nadia Anderson goes on Big Brother, does that count, or do you get half points, or what's up there?
You get 100% credit if Natalie Anderson goes and is a regular contestant on Big Brother.
No. If Nadia Anderson.
Excuse me, I misspoke. If Nadia Anderson. They're interchangeable.
Okay. No,
Nadia was an official contestant both on The Amazing Race twice, and she was out there playing Survivor. She happened to be the first one voted out, but that still counts for sure. So, yeah, I would full points if Nadia Anderson goes into the Big Brother house.
Okay, I like it. In that case, I actually feel more strongly about my pick because I could see them doing that.
Okay. I would love to see that happen. All right. So Dom, let's get into the teams that are actually going to be out there. And the way that we have this set up, we've already done the draft, as I mentioned, but we have 11 teams. And so what we've done, because we didn't want the team distribution to be unbalanced between the two of us, the team that ended up being left over, I had Dom pick a number, and that the number that correlated to the patron that was randomly in that order in the May receipts that we got is going to get the 11th team, and if that team that went undrafted does end up winning the season, that patron will get one full free year on Patreon. So congratulations, just for the sweat at the very least, the person who's going to be sweating this out Dan Liebke is going to be the patron that was number 58, as it turned out, on that list. And incidentally, whether he ends up winning this or losing this, Dan is someone who actually reached out to us a while ago about talking Australian Survivor, and I've been meaning for a long time to make that happen, and definitely do want to put another thing back out there for Dan. Win or lose, Dan will be on talking Australian Survivor whenever the next season of that rolls around, assuming he's still interested. So there you go, Dan sweating out whoever this mystery team ends up being. We don't want to spoil it yet, but the leftover team will be Dan's.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it either, but you should have... There are people who will be rooting against this team, and you certainly should have rigged it for one of them to put them in an awkward position, but I guess this works as well. This one was actually random.
Okay. All right. Well, Dom, let's get into it. And I, being an idiot, said, hey, let's defer in this draft. Let's give Dom the number one overall pick. I thought I was, in the moment, being smart and diabolical, thinking I would get two of the top three teams and be really happy about it no matter who they were. But as the way this math played out, not only is Dom going to get the number one overall pick, he also leaves me at the end of this draft with what is essentially the default pick between the two of us. So right away, I just want to apologize in advance for losing this draft. I'm accepting none of the blame here. But Dom,
I knew when you offered me that you were setting me up for something, that you had run the numbers and determined this is the best way to screw me over. But you played yourself, and
yeah.
So hopefully I can reap the benefits of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dom, you with the number one overall selection selected whom?
Is that the plural form of whom? Is it? I don't know how. Whoms. So the person or persons I selected leading the way here, I'm going to pick Colin and Christy. This is, for me at least, the most iconic Amazing Race team. And by that, I mean they're the one from the early seasons that I've heard of and which I've heard referred to in those harsh terms as one of the greatest teams of all time. And doing a quick check-in on the Amazing Race wiki page, you can start to see why. So definitely one of the teams to watch. And it's been a long time now. It's been, I think, 14, 15 years thereabouts. So we're not looking at 24, 25-year-old Colin and Christy anymore. They're both in their late 30s, early 40s. So I imagine that could impede them a bit. At the same time, if their relationship has stood the test of time, if they're together after so long, then they may have been a little bit dysfunctional, just a bit the first time round. But I'm hoping that they can... Yeah, have their house in order this time, and they certainly displayed a lot of talent for the race, and I imagine that doesn't go away. So I'm very excited to see what they can do, and hopefully they're going to do well for me.
Yeah, I remember them as well. I don't remember that, you know, that long ago in vivid detail, but one thing I do remember is when we did a podcast about the Rachel and Brendan season back in real time, back in like 2011 or whatever, 2012, whenever that was, we did it with a friend of ours named Matt Rodriguez, who talked about Colin and Christy being his favorite team of all time and certainly in the discussion for best team of all time. And frankly, when I left the number one pick to you, I was really hoping that Colin and Christy and the other team that I thought would be a real powerhouse going into this season based on what I'd seen of them in the past. I was very naively apparently hoping that somehow both of them would fall back to me, because looking at this past, there was a very clear top two teams for me.
I think you were hoping that I would just forget and not know who they were and that you could just sweep up. But as always, your lack of faith in me was punished swiftly. But yeah, that was a lot of fun back in the day, and I hope Matt's doing okay, whatever he's up to nowadays.
Yeah, and I'm also just kind of mad at you for taking the only reality TV Colin that I've ever had the opportunity to podcast about and making me immediately root against him.
Yeah, if nothing else, you should have figured I would do that, just to put you in that conflict of interest.
Yeah. All right. So definitely, I think, a very defensible pick. And from what I've heard, it sounds like kind of like, I guess I'm going to go with like Jervis coming back for Blood versus Water, like an almost, wow, they got them to come back kind of pick for casting. So that should be really cool, too.
Yeah, I don't think the Amazing Race is as bad as Big Brother in terms of just inviting teams back at random. At least that's the sense that I get. But I'm shocked that in all of the, how many seasons has it been, 26 or thereabouts, since they were first on the show, that events have not transpired to get them back on there somehow. And maybe that's their own choice. Maybe they were offered and turned it down for their own reasons. But yeah, it's I'm surprised that it took it so long, but I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to question it at all. I'm just going to love the fact that this is our new reality.
Yeah. All right. So very much looking forward to that. And now I'm going to get consecutive picks here. We do a snake draft. And so I mentioned that I had a really clear top two teams for me based on what I'd seen and just heard about in the past. And while I don't remember a ton of the details of like Colin and Christie's original season or season, I think they've only done it once, seasons I was going to say, but then realized they've only done it once. I very vividly can recall just how incredible Art and JJ were. They were on that Brendan and Rachel season that I mentioned we covered and watched pretty closely. And frankly, to me, I remember like when we were talking to Matt, he was talking about Art and JJ and also the team they eventually lost to, Rachel and Major Dave, as two of the historically great amazing race teams that had ever existed in that same pantheon as Colin and Christie. And if I'm remembering vividly enough, I think it was just basically bad luck in one of the last few tasks that really separated Rachel and Major Dave from Art and JJ. And I think it very easily could have gone their way. I think they were very dominant over the bulk of that season, if not the entire thing. Those two teams were just so far above the rest of the pack. And even though it's been a few more years on Art and JJ, I am still very optimistic about their chances here and really looking forward to seeing them back on TV as well, because I thought they were great characters too.
I don't know if I remember them vividly, but I don't know if I remember them fondly either. So by my recollection, that final three of Rachel and Dave, Art and JJ, and then Brendan and Rachel might have the worst ratio of Amazing Race talent to likability of all time, because it's hard to really find fault with them as racers. But they all seemed quite competent, even if they all of them spent half the race just arguing in a very like heated and toxic way with their partners. But yeah, that was a tough season to watch down the final stretch, but I wonder if things have changed here.
Yeah, well, I definitely still think that they're going to be they've got to be among the front runners, just given some of these other teams that I'm looking at here lower on the draft board. I felt like, to me at least, Art and JJ were the no-brainer pick with my first round pick here.
Yeah, but you have another team off the roster here, and I don't actually know who these people are, so give me the elevator pitch on Tyler and Corey.
Well, here's a fun fact. I don't know who these people are either, but I did I did look up just quickly the Wikipedia for the season that they were on, and I couldn't look at their results and not feel like they've got to be between their experience on the race and the results that they put up their first time. Pretty heavy front runners over most of these people. There are still some exceptions that have run the race before, but I've really got to feel like Tyler and Corey, who, if I'm remembering correctly, I think finished in the top three almost every single leg of their initial race and then ended up coming in third in the finale. I think they had 2 6th place finishes somewhere in the middle there, but every other leg they were in the top three. And just based on their photo, I guess they look like they're still in decent racing shape. And I would imagine when it comes to the things like the new twist to the game that I'm going to have absolutely no idea what's going on there. And I could easily see plenty of these teams not really knowing what to anticipate, that kind of veteran experience and recency bias could be huge for them as well. So I definitely feel pretty good about this pick, even not knowing literally the first thing about either of these guys.
Yeah, I was going to say shots fired at almost literally every other team below them, that you picked just a rando team over all of them. But it sounds like you actually did your homework, and this team is actually pretty good. So I guess that's a high bar to meet.
Right, I picked a stat line over everyone else that I'm familiar with.
That's fair enough. So it comes back to me here, and I have two picks. And with the first of those picks, and this isn't in any particular order, just the order I took them off the board in, my first pick was Janelle and Brittany. So I am not a fan of Janelle. I'm not a Janelle Stan or Stanel or whatever the official canon term is there. Brittany, in BB14, I think we're both big fans of Brittany. We thought she was very well placed to win the game. And Big Brother is a very different game from The Amazing Race. And it's a lot more about how you function both together as a team and with strangers versus getting to know people over time. But I think Janelle is a lot more suited to a game like that than she actually is at Big Brother. So the Janelle fans out there for whom she is the best player to ever play and an icon and a legend of the show, I think have reasons to be optimistic here. I don't know if she's going to be able to avoid conflict with... the race is very stressful, so you get into conflict with other teams and with... like cab drivers who are trying to screw you out of money or whatever the myriad of possible complexities is. But I think Janelle and Brittany have a very good shot here, and I'm imagining you're on board with that, but I don't know.
I certainly am. And yeah, I mean, we still have a couple other people to get to later that have been on reality TV three or more times themselves before that I am not nearly as... like overwhelms the wrong word, but like to me, the mystique surrounding Janelle and having her back on reality TV is completely different than some of these other people who are still in their own right, complete icons within their respective franchises. Janelle to me is like an all time reality TV Hall of Famer. And you hit the nail on the head in saying that like the reason that she is that way is not necessarily really because of excelling at the social aspect of the Big Brother game. It's more the competitive aspect of the game that she is just, for my money, I think I said this when we podcasted about Big Brother 7, she is the Aussie of Big Brother to me. She is she's the singular person that I would say, gun to my head, this is who should go down as the greatest challenge competitor. And I think I tweeted relatively recently, at least at the time of this recording, and may or may not be recent at the time that you're hearing this, that The Amazing Race is where Janelle has always belonged, as far as I'm concerned, if she actually wants to end up leaving the game the winner.
Yeah, I believe that people track spoilers very closely for The Amazing Race, and I don't know if some of those have come out already. By the time some of you are listening to this, I'm sure the entire season, there will be a boot list or whatever you call it in your community. So a lot of these opinions will age poorly, I imagine. But for now, these are our best judgments based on what we know. How much do you think that skill at Big Brother challenges transfers over to The Amazing Race? I imagine just being good at one thing naturally suggests you're going to be good at the other, but is it directly transferable in the same way?
Not necessarily like challenge for challenge, but what I do think is directly transferable, and this is not just in challenges, this I'm sure on Survivor is very pertinent at like tribal councils as well, or Big Brother in numerous different situations where veterans have such a huge edge performing under pressure and being familiar with what they have to do in these high intensity moments. And I think Janelle she's got to be near the list of the all-time leaders in winning competitions with her life on the line in the Big Brother house. So any one Amazing Race task, I'm sure for her, is not going to get her too flustered compared to some of the other people that seem to melt down at like the slightest inconveniences.
And I think Janelle and Brittany are going to complement each other's personalities quite well. I get the sense that Janelle, she was great at puzzles. She was great at a lot of these mental agility challenges. But if it's something that's more of a slow burn, I think Brittany can pick up some of the slack there. And she's no slouch in challenges herself.
Yeah.
So I think the two of them both have a lot going for them. It's interesting that when we spoke about the BB14 cast 6 years ago now, we were saying then it has been so long since Janelle last played Big Brother. She must have changed a good deal just personality wise. And in between those two seasons, she got married and had kids. And now we're 6 years removed from that. So do you think we're going to see even more change, maybe in a new direction entirely? Or is she pretty set in her ways at this point?
Hot take. No, I don't think she's going to be that much different. I think she's going to be probably basically the same Janelle we've always seen. Although I do think Brittany could be in play to be a little different, but I'm hoping, frankly, that she's not. Like, I've always loved what Brittany is obviously like put on her seasons there to do and be great in the diary room and be cutting with her commentary and be hilarious. And Brittany, as you mentioned, like obviously no slouch in competitions herself, but I'm guessing that that's mostly what they saw in her for The Amazing Race as well, is having a fantastic narrator who also happens to be good at challenges and linked in some capacity to Janelle.
Yeah, she's been through a ton of shit in her life in the 6 years between BB14 and now, but she's never going to lose that snark no matter what happens. So hopefully some of that's going to be on display. The other team I picked in this round is Nicole and Victor, and I'm going against my own rooting interest here, because I will declare up front, I will be perfectly happy never to see anyone from BB18 on television ever again.
Don't watch the next season of The Challenge, then.
I wasn't planning to. But with the possible exception of, like, Bridget or Tiffany, who might actually deserve to come back in some context, it feels like somebody somewhere in CBS decided this is the example of casting done right, and we have to go back to this well as often as we possibly can, and not even for the more compelling players from that season, but like Josiah or just random people who you didn't like that much the first time round, you had no great desire to see again, and you definitely don't want to see back now that you've seen their personalities more fully. So nothing against Nicole, nothing really against Victor either, but I could do with just a random team plucked from any other Big Brother season at this stage.
Yeah. How do you think they'll actually do at the challenges? Because I would imagine, not being a giant fan of BB18 or necessarily these two individually, you still took them over some other teams.
Right. And maybe Victor's performance on the challenge should have dissuaded me here. But I feel like Nicole and Victor as a pair are both pretty solid. And Nicole, I think, despite some of the dramatics in BB18, she can actually remain pretty calm under pressure, and she and Victor will moderate the worst parts of each other's personalities. So as a unit, I think they're going to be more than the sum of their parts. And maybe I'm being too optimistic with this placement. I should have picked one of the other teams that you're going to snipe from me before the next round. But from what I know, I at least know who they are, which is not true of all the remaining teams. And Nicole and Victor, based on what I've seen, seem pretty good. So it doesn't hurt to have them hit.
Yeah, you mentioned Victor was on a recent season of The Challenge, and he was also obviously on Big Brother as well. And maybe, Dom, there's some timeline where The Amazing Race, catapults him back into the public consciousness, and people are dying to see Victor on Survivor. Maybe Victor could hit not just the CBS Triple Crown, but the Grand Slam of reality TV, having appeared on all three CBS and The Challenge.
Yeah, and he could get the record for most eliminations from reality TV, which would be a fun one to grab. But for Victor, when he goes on The Challenge, that's a show which demands a certain like body type. It's geared towards a certain type of challenge. For The Amazing Race, you have so many different types of people that you can't have anything which is so heavily stacked against one team, at least in theory. I'm sure there have been exceptions in the past or poor challenge design, if you like. But you want someone who is just generally good at that style of task. And I think Nicole and Victor both fit the bill there.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I'm not dying. I didn't need to see Nicole and Victor back on TV, but I do think they'll be in there with a chance. And this is about where I probably would have had them as well. So it comes back to me now with two consecutive picks. And I'm going to stick with the theme of knowing literally nothing about the people that I'm drafting. I took Team Fun and the Afghanimals here. By process of elimination, no shots fired at these remaining teams on the board, but just feeling like having so at least decent results their first times around on The Amazing Race would put them at a pretty big advantage. Although I guess I now am overlooking that Rachel is also an Amazing Race veteran who is still on the board and did okay her first time too, or her first times too.
Sure. So I really have nothing to offer on Team Fun, other than just going by nominative determinism, they should be entertaining to watch. The Afghanimals, I've heard things about. I couldn't tell you specifics, but it sounds like they're good at the race on top of being memorable for whatever reason it was.
I couldn't tell you, again, the first thing about any member of either of these teams, but happy to have them on board.
All right, so coming back to me, I picked Brett and Chris, who are easily the most likable team left on the board. They run away with that by a country mile. But also, they aren't completely insane, which also distinguishes them from at least one member of every remaining team. So just based on that alone, I think they're the obvious pick. And also, I just like them. I know some people are tired of Brett and Chris. I know some people were never on board with them in the first place. I'm a fan. So I'm happy to have them there and to have a team that I can sincerely cheer on to do well.
Yeah, I'm totally with all of that and definitely hoping. I think they are going to be fun for as long as they're out there. I mentioned earlier, I think some teams have a tendency to self-destruct in certain scenarios, but I think Brett and Chris are going to be pretty good about, at the end of even the rougher parts of the challenges, just kind of looking at each other like, oh, you knucklehead, how could you ruin how could you blow that for the squad? Like, laugh it off and go have a beer during the 12 hours they get off before the next leg. I think they could be really fun characters, especially that could particularly stand out amongst the rest of this cast.
There is a definite risk that they lose because Brett just shows up hammered to a roadblock and can't complete it or something, but I'm willing to shoulder that burden. So the final team that I was able to pick here was Rachel and Alyssa. Alyssa is the Hugo to Rachel's Bart. She is the weight around Rachel's neck, and the two of them will, I think, end up fighting much more than the Twinnies ever could have hoped to. So some solid drama potential for this team. But Rachel just has so much experience at this point that even if she wasn't naturally talented, and I will grudgingly admit she does seem to be, at least at the Amazing Race, just by sheer repetition, she has enough experience now that she has to be by herself one of the favorites. And the only question is Alyssa going to be a confounding factor for her?
What was that a reference to? I have no idea what you were talking about, but I'm very interested to learn the symbolism or the literal example you were using about some weight around someone's. What was that a reference to?
The what?
You made some allusion to, it sounded like some historical novel of some sort about Alyssa is the whatever to Rachel's something else, but I had no idea what you were saying.
Yeah, that's the classic literary tale known as The Simpsons.
I didn't mention sure your words that, then. What words were you saying?
I said she's the Hugo to Rachel's Bart.
Oh, I had no... All right, I was way off there.
Okay, well, what I'm saying basically is, if you could lock Alyssa away and have her just munch on fish heads for the duration of the race and let Rachel go by herself, I would take her much higher. She, as a single entity, would probably be one of my first round picks. However, I have faith in Alyssa to intentionally or unintentionally sabotage the whole team here. So I think that's a question of when rather than if. But prove me wrong, Alyssa. Prove me wrong.
Okay. Yeah, Alyssa would be someone for me that I for sure did not need to see back on TV, but I guess I guess I'm gonna say I'm willing to take it. Like, it's been long enough for me that I'm ready. I'll take some more Rachel Riley. I'm ready for it at this point. If for no other reason than kind of like the same logic that you hear from little kids, like they put their hand back on the hot stove just to remember what it feels like, to remind them not to do that anymore.
Yeah, so we now have two teams left on the board. We have Corinne and Eliza and Rupert and Laura. So, Colin, with the last pick of the draft, who did you rescue from the doldrums there?
So, this was tough for me, and frankly, this pick came down to I didn't know who I wanted to give to Dan, to our buddy Dan, who's playing for a free year of Patreon. Frankly, I don't think either of them are going to be like heavy front runners to win too often, so it came down to me for... I don't know necessarily, you know, particularly what kind of survivors Dan loves himself, but I thought Rupert would be a safer bet for an average fan than necessarily Corinne or Eliza would. So I took Corinne and Eliza for myself, and left Rupert and Laura to be the heroes of CBS and to represent Dan, our hero, in this quest for free Patreon. And hopefully we can give Dan the free Patreon the same way CBS gave Rupert and Laura the free $1 million.
Yeah, two things to balance here. We don't want the patron who ends up with them to be so offended that they cancel their subscription.
Yeah.
But we also don't want to give them a free year of being a patron. So I think on balance, you know, Dan's going to stay in line. And also Rupert and Laura have zero chance in hell of winning the Amazing Race. So I think we get the best of both worlds there.
I don't know if they have zero chance. Like, are you cutting your pinky off if Rupert and Laura win the Amazing Race, Dom?
I'm not committing to that, but I will... Yeah, I will rest well at night knowing that the two of them will flame out at some point.
I'll give you one. Are you giving me 1,000 to 1? I'll book 1,000 to 1.
I'm not going to haggle over the exact odds with you, but I thought that point would be uncontroversial, but I guess not.
All right. Well, I mean, I feel like they're in there with a chance, at least. I feel like the Amazing Race, with each season probably a few exceptions, there are probably some teams generally on a given season that are not very high likelihood winners. But I really wouldn't say that anyone in this whole cast, like, there's certainly no one I'm betting my pinky against. And while Rupert and Laura are obviously going to be near the bottom of the list, it still wouldn't blow me away. Like, just the rigging factor alone of CBS reality, it feels like gives Rupert some equity.
Yeah, you might actually just be calculating the odds that the show is rigged. Although, would they rig it for Rupert and Laura over Janelle and Brittany, let's say, or I guess for Rachel again, so that she can have a second show rigged on her behalf?
I don't know. I don't even know how much of that comes into play on The Amazing Race. I guess the only kind of rigging kind of allegations that I could ever think of, or kind of conspiracies that I would ever have, would be the non-elimination legs. It seemed conveniently timed at certain points.
Yeah, so I'm sure the Amazing Race fans out there have a long list of tales of possible rigging that they could regale us with. But let's go back to the main attraction here, which is Laura Bonham, who we're thrilled to have back on our TV screens again. And if we have to accept Rupert being there as well, then maybe that's a price worth paying. But now that we've got that out of the way, let's return to the team that you actually picked, namely Corinne and Eliza, who you could say the less said about them, the better, but I think there is a lot to say about them. So I will give you the mic to do whatever you want with it.
Well, let me ask you, I want to ask you initially, how surprised were you to see this as one of the teams out there?
I was stunned. It never really occurred to me, but I think it's a masterstroke. Whoever came up with this is I fully endorse them being in control of the show, because that's a fantastic idea. And even though, as will become clear, I'm definitely not rooting for this team, I'm rooting for them to be on my TV screen, because it is going to be television gold.
Yeah, I was like you. I was totally floored to see that they were actually going to be one of the teams out there. But I was I'm very happy to see them out there, and I hope that they can make it for a while. Let me be clear. I don't hope that they win, but I hope that they're out there for a while.
Right. Let's be very, very clear. Okay, we don't hope that they win.
One needs that. No one in the world needs that. But I was definitely happy to see that they were going to be out there on the cast, and I do think that they have some equity. I mean, they're obviously both in decent enough shape to do well at any decent, at any random challenge. So I feel like that is definitely going to be like along those lines. I think they're probably going to be underrated in that capacity as people are looking around at who else is out there. People familiar with Corinne and Eliza probably aren't going to be taking them super seriously as the biggest threats right away. And interestingly, though, Dom, like, does anyone care less about reality TV and talk and do more reality TV than Corinne? Like, it seems like for someone who's completely over reality TV, she's been doing a lot of it lately and spending a lot of time talking about it.
Maybe Will Kirby, but he, yeah. I'm going to give him a pass. He has earned his keep. Whereas Corinne, like, no one's buying what she's selling there. I guess her patrons are, but yeah. But in general, yeah, she pretends to be over it, but she is not over it, as evidenced by the fact that she is missing from the wider landscape for however long this race takes to film. But what do you think the dynamic on that team is going to be? Because Corinne and Eliza supposedly are friends in real life, and I can definitely buy that. But The Amazing Race has destroyed much stronger and more stable friendships, and also just more friendly people than Corinne and Eliza in the past. So what do you see in store for them?
I mean, you're getting my hopes up, frankly, that there's going to be some like epic blow up on TV. Yeah, I think Rachel and Alyssa were a pair that we talked about potentially going back and forth a lot. And I could see this being another strong candidate for that, where I could see, unlike Janelle, I think was the person I referenced, like having a ton of experience with, playing competitions with her life on the line. I'm not sure that that's really even the case for Corinne or Eliza. And I could for sure see, under certain stressful situations, that getting the better of them and them losing their composure or being more inclined to do so than basically any other team out here, I would guess.
Yeah, they are going to break the all-time record for managers demanded to be spoken to during the course of this race, or taxi drivers yelled at, or just people made to feel belittled for no good reason.
But again, I think they're going to be so fun along the way as they're doing it, and I hope that we can just get a lot of them being near the back of the pack but not actually eliminated, and then a conveniently timed non-elimination leg to keep them around.
Yeah, and I would be fully in support of that, by the way. I don't need this show to have integrity to enjoy watching it. It doesn't have the same sentimental attachment for me, so rig away as long as it keeps me entertained.
Right. I really think about both Corinne and Eliza, I would say I really enjoy watching Corinne and Eliza every few years, probably, but not because I'm rooting for Corinne or Eliza, but they're just so effective at the job that they've obviously always been put out there to be doing.
Yeah, co-sign all of that, for sure.
All right. So Dan then, of course, gets Rupert and Laura, who we've talked about. So very exciting stuff here, Dom. What more do we want to be saying about the amazing... It's 31, Amazing Race 31 that we're on now, I believe is correct?
Yeah, we managed to skip Dirty 30, which is a blessing in disguise. What else do we know about it at this point? It's hard to say anything when we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I really don't know, and I feel like I'm doing a disservice to the listeners, but... fuck them. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know anything about this season.
Well,
sorry.
I really have no good follow-up to that.
All right. Then let's get out of here. Dumb. It's late. It's currently about to turn 2 a.m. here on the East Coast. I have been home for the last 3 days. This is the fifth podcast I have done in those 3 days, so I'm going crazy right now. Let's get out of here. Obviously, you're on Twitter at DomHRV. I am at Colin Stone. Thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy the Amazing Race 31, whether that's coming to you months or potentially even days from now at the time that you're hearing this. Hopefully everything's cool in the future whenever this is airing. I think it's probably going to be fall-ish. Hopefully the world hasn't exploded by then. And we will talk to you very soon. Take care, everybody.